Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East. The very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.
Deception, lies, fakery, fraudulence, and forgery. This is what Intelligent Speech 2025 will be bringing to you.
My name's Otto English, and I will be talking about how bad history poisons politics for Intelligent Speech in 2025.
Hello, I'm Jo-Edwig Teeuwse. I'll be speaking at the Intelligent Speech 2025 about fake history, how to recognize it, and how to hunt it.
Hello everyone, my name is Wesley Livesay, and I'll be speaking at Intelligent Speech 2025 on the topic of sacrificed in the name of deception, when deception has a very real human cost.
Intelligent Speech 2025 Deception will take place on the 8th of February, 2025. Go to intelligentspeechonline.com to find out more.
Gamar Joba, and welcome to the History of Sakhatvilo, Georgia. I'm your host, Roberto, and this is episode 41, Telephis Olaria. In today's episode, we will see how the Persian general Mir Demidowy solidifies his control of the Telephis region of Lazica. I want to thank my Patreon members who have been amazing as always with their continued support. This show could not run without you. Thanks to Audrey Neeson, Andrew Schneider, Mitchell Dutt, Eric Nicholson, Jared Eliasser, Hallie Kuntz, Ari Tena, Quinn Campagna, David Montgomery, Konstantine Megrilishvili, and Ashley Fisher. You are all amazing, and I value each and every one of you. Now, let's get into today's episode. In the last episode, we finished up Procopius' account of the Lazic War, and now we are transitioning over to Agathius' account. Also, we saw the Roman army beating back the Persians to Kutaisi after slaughtering them on a mountain path. We start our story in the spring of 554 or 555, where sources are dubious on when this takes. And there we see the Persian general Mir Demidowy recovering from his defeat by the Romans in Kutaisi. The Romans had a good foothold along the mountain paths and fortresses in the area, and if Mir Demidowy wanted to break into the plains of the Black Sea coast, he would need to gain control of the forts in the Telefist region and control everything up to the Rioni River. The issue that Midwe had was, as I stated, the Romans controlled the plains and mountain paths leading into Telefis. The Roman general Mardin was stationed at the fortress of Telefis and ordered his men to keep watch on all the approaches leading into the area. The terrain only served to bolster his defense, since the mountain paths had deep gorges running alongside them, had overhanging rocks making the paths narrower than usual, and very difficult for Mirdomedo's large army to pass effortlessly. It didn't help that the other available paths were full of swamps and marshlands, and were rife with dense thickets of trees, making it slow to progress through the terrain easily, even for a man going on a journey for pleasure with not much on him. That, and even marching an army through the terrain, would make the Persian troops much easily succumb to any diseases brought by the natives of the swamps, which are known as mosquitoes. And the terrain wasn't all that General Mardin used to his advantage. To make sure that his control of the territory was absolute, Mardin ordered his men to fence off any part of the terrain that could be used for passage, and remove it from Persian access, since it would be guarded day and night. General Mirdomedoe knew that all of these things meant that his army, which had a numbers advantage over the Romans, would suffer heavy casualties. This meant that he had to surprise the Romans somehow. Well, how would the Romans drop their guard? Mardin knew that Mirdomedoe was a tricky foe to deal with. As Mirdomedoe planned his ruse, it just so happened that he fell sick. The Persian general was confined to his bed, where he'd loudly lamented his fate, cursed everything about it, and moaned about his sickness loudly in a way that men tend to do when they are sick. Despite having medics around him giving him all sorts of medicines to improve his health, it simply did not. Getting sick in this day and age, especially in a fortress, would not be a good thing at all. It's safe to mention here that the biggest killer in a war is disease, so Mirdomedoe was probably dealing with something known as dysentery. For those of you who don't know what dysentery is, it's very bad diarrhea, which can kill you. The general's loud lamentations soon spread through the camp, leading to rumor that he was on death's door. Word soon arrived to the Romans via the troops in the Persian army, who valued a good day's pay over loyalty to their Shahanshah and general, who received this news with happiness. The Romans were very happy. News spread through the Roman camp that potentially soon all the hard work that they were doing for General Mardin would soon end, especially if the Persian general died from his illness. And once you have it, a few days later, the same disloyal Persians sold the information to the Romans about their enemy succumbing to his disease. The Romans relaxed their guard almost immediately, as if a heavy weight had been lifted off their shoulders. They had such smiles on their faces, as the never-ending days of searching for new stable passageways in the perilous mountain paths, placing up fences along the mosquito-infested swamps due to those stable paths, and constant watch for Persian movement became all for naught. The Romans nagged their general to let them rest for a moment. Due to the loss of Persian leadership, they saw no reason to keep enforcing their control over the area when there was a large army with no leadership far from them. There would be no incoming battle with the lack of Mirdomedoe. Back in the Persian camp, the death of Mirdomedoe had a massive effect on the morale of the troops. They were dismayed, and even the general's closest advisors were at a loss of what to do. It was much to their surprise that 3 days after his death, Mirdomedoe had risen from the death and walked out to his troops and ordered them to prepare to march against the Roman fortress of Telefis. Now, what had Mirdomedoe done? Well, he obviously had faked his own death to his army, knowing he would have some sellouts and that the Romans would drop their guard. To help make this believable, he hid himself in a room for several days, even hiding the truth from his closest friends and advisors to further sell it as his actual death. As his army marched against the Romans, he ordered that they clear away any woods and rocks that impeded their progress. Roman relaxation of their watch ensured that they were not prepared for Persian action against them. They had withdrawn their scouts and soldiers from key passes, letting them rest in the Telefis fortress. When word arrived that the Persians were approaching the fortress, they had no time to shore up their defenses in time. General Mardin saw that there were two options available to him. He could either stay and defend the fortress as best as he could, and inevitably lose his forces to the Persian general in a massacre, which would lead to the capture of the Telefis fortress, or he could retreat, save his men, and just give up the fortress in general. In the end, fighting would not let him survive the battle, and he knew that he had been outmaneuvered. Mardin gave the order to his troops to grab what they could because they were retreating to the fortress of Oladia, where his fellow generals, Bessas and Justin, were located right on the plains west of Telefis. The Roman army made their way out of the Telefis fortress and arrived at Oladia safely. Once there, Martin and his army joined up with Justin and Bessas, and together they decided to make a stand against their enemies right there to prevent a series of Roman defeats that would lead the Persians from conquering Lazica and controlling the Black Sea coast.
Hello and bonjour. My name is Josh Zucker, and I want to take you on a journey through some of the most exciting events of the late Middle Ages. Valois Burgundy was one of the medieval world's greatest what-ifs. Its dukes inherited, conquered, and politicked their way into forging a state between the German Empire and the Kingdom of France that rivaled them both. From the Hundred Years' War to the Holy Roman Empire, from urban workers to Joan of Arc, and from gallant knights to gunpowder weapons, the Grand Dukes of the West had a part to play in almost all of Western Europe's biggest developments in the 14th and 15th centuries. If you want to learn more about the glamorous rise and dramatic fall of the Dukes of Burgundy, please join me for Grand Dukes of the West, A History of Valois Burgundy.
Hello, everybody. This is Trevor Cully, host of the History of Persia podcast. From about 550 to 330 BC, most of the Middle East was ruled by the Achaemenid Persians. The Achaemenids pioneered the concept of a truly multinational empire, which incorporated people from as far away as India and Greece for over 200 years. The story of Persia discusses the fall of ancient civilizations, the origins of endurance racing, 300 Spartans, the March of the 10,000, and at least one evil priest who replaced and impersonated the king, all before falling with the dramatic close at Alexander the Great's conquests. If that story, and the story of the cultures that surround it, sound interesting to you, check out The History of Persia at historyofpersiapodcast.com, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Well, let's take a look at some of the soldiers that had been left behind in Telephys before the Persians arrived. We have a Zanoi commander named Theodore, who was in control of a unit of 500 Zanoi troops. Now, Theodore was a Romanized Zanoi who had grown up in Constantinople and was now using his dual cultural identity for the glory of Rome. He had decided to stay behind and scout for Mirdamirdoa's numbers, mettle, and intentions for his next steps. Luckily for General Martin, Theodore was a brave and diligent man who carried out his orders well. Theodore watched as Mirdamirdoa took over the fortress of Telephys and how eager they were to continue conquering and to spill Roman blood. With that, he immediately departed to tell the general triumvirate, you know, Justin, Bessas, and Martin. On the way to Oladia, Theodore came across a group of Roman soldiers who had broken off from the main army, and instead of returning to Oladia, they instead decided that it was in their best interest to betray the people they were protecting and act as vagabonds instead of soldiers. They had broken into the homes of the Lazi, carrying off with food and what little wealth they had, much to the chagrin of the Lazi. Theodore, despite his Roman upbringing, was still a man from the Caucasus, and his heart broke at seeing the Roman troops acting in such a way. He approached the men and reproached them for their irresponsible behavior, how they had betrayed the trust of the people who they were protecting, and most importantly, for not using their heads and realizing what trouble they truly were in as an army. Some of these troops had a visible change of expression as they realized the error of their ways, and they marched alongside Theodore to get back to the camp in Oladia. However, Theodore would not arrive back to Oladia in time. The Persian army had caught up to those troops who did not listen and marched with Theodore, and killed most of them. There's a group of these remaining vagabonds who instead rushed back to the camp of Oladia and banged against the gates of the fort, screaming at the top of their lungs to be let in, that the Persians were coming! This distress brought the Roman camp into disarray, leading to many of the Roman soldiers to panic and prepare to leave. The Roman general Justin, Bessas, and Martin would themselves fall victim to the panic, and instead of bringing their troops under control and staying to fight the Persian army like they said they would, they instead retreated to the island camp of Nessos, which was about 15 miles west from Oladia. The Roman generals were entirely unprepared and had no other plan aside from retreat. Mirdamirdoa arrived at Oladia much later, and when he did, he found the camp abandoned. He walked around, he could be heard laughing at the Romans for their cowardice, and yelling many insults at them, which of course they could not hear. He took up shop in the room where the generals met, and there, after much examination of the area, decided that he could not advance on the Nessus camp since he had not been able to establish supply lines, did not want to get surrounded in enemy territory, and he had no siege territory to take out the island fort. With that, Mirmidwë decided that controlling the new gains would prove much better, and he ordered his men to build wooden planks and pontoons to ease their movement in and out of Telephys, mostly to help establish those supply lines. He then sent troops to reinforce his fortress at Onoguris, and from there, he returned to Kutaisi. However, on returning to Kutaisi, Mirmidwë actually became sick this time, and he set off to Iberia to recover outside of the fortress, leaving his army Kutaisi to guard their new gains. He arrived at Mitesqueta, the Iberian capital, and the great Persian general Mirmidwë passed away from his illness. And this was for real this time. To connect with us, feel free to find us on social media under @history_Georgia or on Facebook, The History of Sacramento, Georgia. Our intro music is Bindi Speria Sopeli by Zadashe. They were here in the US earlier and they were fantastic to see. Also, we have a website, so go to zarpower.com, TSARPOWER.com. We will have a website link for just the Georgia podcast soon, but it's all under the same website. To help us continue, please feel free to subscribe to our Patreon or donate via Ko-fi or PayPal. Links are in the episode description. If you would prefer donating something a bit more tangible, we have an Amazon wishlist for you to peruse. However, the best way to help us is via review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcast host, as it goes a long way of getting out the word about the show and helping us reach new people to learn about Georgia. Also, make sure it's just a 5-star review. We like those the best. Madlabada Nakvambis, and thank you for listening to The History of Sacramento, Georgia. See you next time.
Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East, the very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.